friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But it does seem like everybody's pretty much in lockstep of like, all right, I'm not seeing a franchise. You know, can we see a starter at some point? Or can we see a quarterback 27 through 34 at some point.
Yeah, and then it's interesting because then the next evolution of that discussion is, are we all doing this way too fast? But when you have Shador sitting there and waiting, I think you have to be fast about these things.
Yeah, I don't. And by the way, if Dylan was the number two pick in the draft this year, yes, it would be way too early to have any sort of thumbs up, thumbs down on him. He's a late third round pick.
Oh, even if it was like, just Bailey Zappi in back of him. If it was just Bailey, I'd be like, all right, we're way too quick in all this stuff. Let's give it a little bit more.
I disagree firmly. I think when you're talking about a non-elite quarterback prospect, they have to play their way into you thinking there's something more than a backup.
No, but the difference there would be that you'd be giving them more of an opportunity to eventually turn the tide and have them do that. Whereas if you go to Bailey Zappi is doing absolutely nothing for you. Like you're wasting time if you put Bailey Zappi out there. You could at least make the argument that if the competition was between Dylan and Bailey, that maybe, just maybe, the light bulb will go on and some of what you saw in college will be able to translate and it will be able to work. And so that I think would be the process. But with Shador waiting, it doesn't make sense to me.
I think Shador being there, absolutely, especially for certain parts of the fandom, puts more pressure on Dylan in the immediate part of this. But I mean, I think if he had another three games like he did the first three games, I think you could have Carson Wentz back him up. And I think people would be like, all right, we're scoring like 15 points a game, 16 points a game. Got to do something. The quarterback's the same thing we did with Joe Flacco. I mean, this town was gaga about Joe Flacco. How many people thought Stefanski, Flacco, the old blocking scheme, the old playbook, you know, Nick's an idiot for three-win Wilson. Vegas is crazy at the 5.5. It took four games for everyone to be like, all right, enough of that crap. We don't have that investment in Dylan Gabriel.
Well, a third-round pick is an investment in some ways. But, I mean, like, you can't just throw these things around.
But you don't have the emotional investment.
Well, we're talking from a fan, or are we talking
from
the Browns?
We're talking from the fan perspective.
Oh, well, the fans can move on as quick as you need to.
Well, but I think that's the point.
I think 90% of fans already have moved on from Dylan Gabriel.
I don't know if it's 90.
I think a large percentage of fans have already given up on Dylan Gabriel.
I don't know. I got a fair amount of crap this week for saying I didn't think he was very good against Miami. I think there's still Dylan Gabriel truthers out there.
Then they're in your mentions. They're not in mine because I don't see a lot of defense for Dylan. And through the phone lines, through what we do on a day-in, day-out basis together, how many calls have we taken this week, Nick, where people have called up and said, you're not being fair to Dylan, or it doesn't make sense the way you guys are treating Dylan. He deserves a chance X, Y, and Z. We don't take those calls.
Fairness, we don't take a lot of calls.
But that is true. We don't take a lot of calls. But like this week, we haven't heard a single call like that.
216-474-0092. So you heard what Joe Hayden said about Dylan Gabriel. How big of a game is this for Dylan Gabriel? I also think it's going to be really interesting to see if this game, in the end, winning or losing, whether it alters too much of the Browns' approach to the deadline, where, you know, David Njoku has disappeared from some people's trade candidate lists. And then I saw, I can't remember the website, but he had a 42% chance of being traded by one of the analytics websites.
Yeah, the ESPN article I saw the other day, it had Jerome Ford up there as the only Browns player out of the top 25 that were listed. And obviously, David Njoku would be better than Jerome Ford if you were going to rank him and put him out there. But yeah, I think this is a big, it's a big little stretch here. Because if you get your third win and then you're 3-5 heading into the bye week, I wonder how differently they'll treat this. Like, if you feel like they then look at the season and say, maybe, just maybe, there's something we can do here?
So maybe I think there's more to be lost than gained. Like, if you win this game, I think right now the Browns should be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. If a Garrett Wilson shakes free for the right price, you'd be stupid, knowing you're trying to get a quarterback next year. You'd be dumb not to go ahead and take a swing and get Garrett Wilson for the right price. At the same point, I don't think you should be going off another, you know, potential seller team and begging for their, you know, leftover garbage, right? So I only think your buyers in like 3% of trades that could be out there, or like a buy low pick swap Braxton Jones, the left tackle of the Bears, who is finally healthy.
Which seems like that could be a possibility.
So like those are the kind of moves. I think this is more if you lose this game, you become a definitive seller. Whereas if you win, I think you're still a little column A, a little column B.
I mean, if they lose this game, then they have to really just kind of they have to make peace with the idea that there's no in the hunt graphic that they'll be a part of.
Yeah. Well, and I also think it's like 3-5. You can start to sell yourself on, especially with two straight wins.
When it's not just 3-5 either, it's 3-5 with the Jets coming down the track.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay, we've got some momentum here. A second win. This win is going to be a little tougher to dispute with Dylan Gabriel than it is the Miami game was. I can understand if you come out of this saying, all right, we're 3-5. We feel like we've got a fighting chance. I still think it'll be a little early for that. I'd need another win before we get there, but I understand it. With a loss, 2-6, it's math. I mean, it is math with a team that is incredibly young, that has a lot of holes on offense, and a head coach who doesn't always lean on the very best player on the offense to get things done in Quinshon Judkins.
Which makes it even more.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More frustrating why nobody wants to discuss this game. Like, the whole season isn't really hinging on this game. Like, it should be. This should be a hot topic for a bunch of people. This should be a big discussion for a lot of people. Like, the difference between winning this game and then having the Jets in your back pocket versus losing this game and essentially seeing your season just waste away is pretty massive.
Yeah, but I think
when people can't get into this one.
Well, I think you need an indisputable game to get in on this team with the plan that I think there's a lot of people in this town who've watched how wonky this plan was and then how off trajectory it went. Kenny Pickett for a fifth rounder. Joe Flacco traded 5 weeks
in. You're being generous even calling it a plan.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think it was a plan. It was a lot of spare parts plan.
I don't even see a plan here. It just kind of felt like they threw a lot of things against the wall.
And none of them have stuck so far. But I think that's why this game is. It's funny. I think sometimes we equate buzz with interest. I think there's a lot of people watching this one with interest. But I think in terms of the kind of things that drives what we do, what we do on social media together, this game doesn't have a lot of that before it. It's a game you beat your chest about after. But leading into it, you do the old Teddy Roosevelt walk softly and carry a big stick.
No, it's got the energy of the Cavs Nets game tonight, you know, where it's game two of the NBA regular season. We're all watching it, but no one's discussing it in great detail.
TB12 forever on the YouTube chat.
That guy's
there.
An aggressive chatter, isn't he?
He is.
I like him.
Yeah. Well, I said Browns cannot win.
What's the
big.
Well for? Should I not like TB12 forever?
Let me get through this and you'll hear. He said, Browns cannot win big games, a.k.a. games versus winning teams with no wide receivers, LOL. Why isn't this I think he means known, by Nick and Jonathan. And then he said known.
Wait, is he a Tom Brady fan with the TB12 forever thing? So is he actually a Patriots fan?
I don't think it's that. No, because he's always in our chat. I think he's just...
What else would TB12 mean, though?
No, he's just a Tom Brady fan who also might be a Browns fan. You can be both.
I know you can be. It just seemed more like...
I've never seen Patriots fans' tendencies from TB12 forever, although that doesn't mean he's not.
You know, I went when Tom Brady played the Browns in 2016. I made an effort to go and see that game because I thought that was going to be the last Tom Brady game I'd ever have a chance to see in person. Mm-hmm. And then he played for another 8 years.
Thanks for that, Tom. I don't. This is not a big game. Like, okay, this is not what the first six games of the season was. So I respect the Patriots as an opponent. If you decide you don't want to play this game in a way to win it, if you want to get cute with it and have Dylan Gabriel throw it 56 times or 52 times, you can lose your ass against this team. Like, Vrabel, to me, is the quintessential Belichickian disciple that if you want to do something dumb, he's not going to stop you. Kind of like Tomlin 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. All right, hey, I'm going to make you run, and then you're going to make me stop making you stop running, right? Like, that's what this game represents. And so, again, I don't think it's IQ test with Kevin because it's very clear, not because of the Ivy League stuff, because you hear the guy talk, he's smart, but this is an arrogance test. It's how much do you want to win and how much do you want to win your way? So, but I don't think this is a quote-unquote big game. This is not, the Patriots are not a juggernaut. Like, the record is a little deceiving based off what you're actually going up against.
No, but it is a big game relative to the idea of what we talked about in regards to if you lose this game and what you think the season can be. Like, and again, if you win this game with the Jets in back of you, like, this is, you go from being a 2-win team right now to I can snap my fingers. This is a BOGO game. If you win this game, then you win the game against the Jets. Then you have a 3-game winning streak, and all of a sudden, it's a completely different tune that we're singing.
Also, got to look another way here. If you win this game, 3-win Wilson starts to feel the heat on the old burger bets.
If you win this game, 3-win Wilson is all but dead, okay? It doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, in fairness, I did say they were going to go 4-13, and then John just never heard the 4 part. But 4-win Wilson isn't as good as 3-win Wilson. That's fair.
We only remember the 3-win Wilson part. When Fanta gives you a nickname, we only remember that part of it.
Okay, but I said 4-13. I gave him an
extra win. Which one do you want? Which one do you want right now?
I talked to Todd Philcox and Kelly Holcomb and Mike Phipps, and they said, Nick, you're being so hard on this team.
I can give you a 5-win, too, if you want as well. Do you want to really cover the board with a 6-win as well?
No.
I can go all the way up to 7 for you.
I believe this was documented.
We can get you to 8 if you want as well.
Do you remember?
We can get you wherever you need to go.
Do you remember 4 wins? I said 4-13.
Or do you just remember 3-win Wilson like everyone else?
The 3-win Wilson was really good branding. But
it was good branding.
I remember around that number for you.
Around that number is also 3, though. Which number do you remember?
I remember 3 for sure because of the 3-win Wilson, but again, I could see him going 3-4 wins.
I don't, by the way, I don't have
around that number, by the way, is a great answer to that, and low-key really funny.
Very funny. I think Johnny Jam up over here is maybe not remembering. Well, no.
You asked him. I don't know what to tell you. No. I'll give you 4. I'll give you 5. I'll give you 6. I'll give you whatever win you want.
No, I'm not flip-flopping or changing. That's another show on this station. I said 4-13.
If they beat the Patriots, it's a BOGO. It's a buy one, get one. If they beat the Patriots, then we'll find. Then we'll settle right on your number at 4 because then they're going to beat the Jets. If you beat the Patriots, you get the win against the Jets. Guaranteed.
I just think it's funny that the guy who remembers everyone's take can't remember my take from the beginning of the season because John Fanta said something clever.
3-win Wilson was just a really clever thing. It stuck with me.
216-474-0092. Should this game impact the Browns' deadline approach? Well, we can debate whether it should. I think it probably will. And could be a nightmare scenario this weekend for some in the area. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.